My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, life is full of disappointment. I'm not saying that to be overly pessimistic or to make it so that you are unnecessarily hard on yourselves or on others, but I think we can all understand and agree that there's plenty of times in life where we end up being disappointed. We have great dreams, vivid imaginations, and what we can see as being our future and how everything's going to work out and be so wonderful. The project that we start, we see it in our eyes, in our mind about what it's going to be like. And then, all of a sudden, we realize that our dreams, our imagination, was maybe a little bit bigger than reality. And we're disappointed. It doesn't work out the way we want it. If you've ever worked in a group before, you may understand disappointment. Group project of school, group project at work, maybe one at home. And you realize that everything is hinging on the work of another that's not being done. Disappointment. And let's be honest. As we look at our lives, at the people who disappoint us the most, even with all of the things that may be said will be done at home, may be said will be done here and aren't, the one who disappoints us the most, at least for me, is myself. The promises I made, the things I said I would do, I'll be better tomorrow. I won't make that mistake again. And I do. Maybe you do too. You ever made New Year's resolutions? I don't. It's not my thing. Primarily probably because I know I won't do it. It'll be an empty promise. The vast majority of New Year's resolutions from people, forgotten within the first 3 months. Discarded. Disappointment. We don't follow through. We don't finish. We don't get it done. So we take a look at our gospel lesson today. We hear about a parable Jesus tells, and in the midst of this parable, we begin to understand a little bit about disappointment, but not our disappointment. I mean, imagine this, with how disappointed we may be in ourselves when we sin, as disappointed as we may be in others when they fail to follow through on what they have said. Imagine how disappointed God must be in this world. Because He knows what He created us to be, this perfect human race, capable of following His Word and doing His will. And we don't. And we fail. How disappointed God must be. And so we hear about that. Because we hear about what Jesus says here in this parable about these sons. And in the end, what we really hear about is the Father's three sons, and what it is that He expects and wants to see out of not just us, but all people. So Jesus tells this parable. Really, He's telling it to the Pharisees. The Pharisees who thought they were so wonderful and great and had no problems following what God would want them to do. And so, what happens? Jesus says this. A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The first son is the rebel. He's the defiant one. Go and work in my vineyard. Go do the work that must be done. It's the family business. It needs to be tended and taken care of. And how does he respond? "I don't want to do that." We don't know why he doesn't want to do that. Maybe he doesn't like working in the vineyard. Maybe it's hard work and he just wants to be lazy. Maybe he had other plans. He intended to be somewhere else, doing something else. Does this sound familiar? The Father in this parable is God. God's the one who's telling us, His people, His children, His sons and daughters, go out and do the work. And how do we respond? "No, I don't want to do that. That doesn't sound like fun." He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. And how do we respond? I don't want to do that. That sounds terrible. I'm going to have to talk to people. I'm going to have confrontations with people. They're not going to like what I have to say. Let's face it, this world doesn't like hearing about sin. Doesn't like hearing about God. I don't want to do that. I'd rather really just do whatever I feel like doing. I want to be lazy. I want to follow through with my own plans, my own ideas. I don't care if that's what God's Word says or not. Or maybe we take a look at all the things that He has commanded, all the things that God would have us do and say, well, some of that's okay, but I don't like the rest of it. I want to do what I want to do. I will set my own destiny. I will plot my own course. No one, not even the Almighty Creator of all things, should be able to tell me how I can live my life. It's my life. No, I won't go work. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? As much as we'd like to deny it, as much as we'd like to think that, no, we would never do that, we would never say those things, and yet we know our rebellion. We know our sin. We know the times we've turned our back on God. We know the times we've heard His Word. We know His will. And we say, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. And yet, what happens next? For the rest of the world, for those who don't put their faith and their trust in God, well, they stay in their rebellion and their unbelief and their defiance. But for a Christian, for one who has been called according to His purpose, for one who has seen the amazing workings of God, our salvation won by Jesus, we think better of our choices and our answer. Like the son, who said no, but then later he thought better of it and he went. That's repentance. It's repentance that leads to obedience, because what do? We recognize our defiance. We recognize our sin. We say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And once we are assured of that forgiveness and that mercy, and now we say, I want to live my life according to your word. I want to do what you told me to do, even though it might not be pleasant, even though it may be hard, and it'd be a lot easier just to ignore it. I won't. Because this, Father, is what you have asked me to do. And then comes the second son. The second son sounds really good, because this is what happens. He came to the second and said the same thing, and the second son answered, I will go, sir. But he did not go. It's lip service. Is telling the Father what he wants to hear so that he gets off his back. He won't bother me with this anymore. He won't confront me with this anymore. I won't have to worry about it. I can go and do whatever I want because he's going to think that I'm there working in the vineyard. Maybe he had every intention of going, but something came up, something got in the way. He wasn't able to make it. But it obviously wasn't a priority for him, or he would have made a way. He would have found a way. Is this us too? The ones who say, Lord, I know your will and I want to follow it. I will gladly do everything that you command. And then we just don't. We don't because it's easier not to. We don't because we have our own priorities. We don't because we never had any intention of doing it, but we thought that was what God wanted to hear, and we thought that's what everybody else around us wanted to hear. And so now it's done and we can just forget about it. Maybe it's because we're apathetic. We really just don't care enough to make it happen. See, God, He knows what He intended out of us. When He creates Adam and Eve, they are on His wavelength. They were of one mind with Him. They were perfect and holy, and they were capable of following all of His sayings, all of His will, His decisions. And they didn't even question because they got it. And now because of sin, rebels like us, we don't get it anymore. And we struggle and we strive with our own sinful nature, our own sinful hearts, the one that wants to say, no, I don't want to do that, and the one that says, I will, but never has any intention of it. So in the end, which son are we? Which son should we be? Well, Jesus asked the Pharisees the follow-up question, which of the two did the will of his Father? They said to him, the first. The one who said no was a rebel, but changed his mind later, who repented and set about the work. So Jesus said to them, amen, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. However, the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. Even when you saw this, you did not change your mind and believe him. Here's his point. The point of the entire thing. Remember who he's talking to. He's talking to those Pharisees, those ones who had stood up boldly among all of the people and told the people exactly what the people wanted to hear. Who set themselves up to be this amazing example of good, faithful life and living. We'll do everything God has commanded. We even do more than what God has commanded in reverence for him, but their hearts were so far from him. They never had any intention of actually trying to please God. They wanted to please themselves. They wanted to please others around them. They wanted to do what they thought looked good, not what actually was. They were the second son. The one who gave lip service. The one who says, yes, I'll do it. But they never did. God's point and purpose. He wants to wake us up and get us to realize that no matter which son we are, we're rebellious. No matter which son we are, we've sinned. But the difference is, the first one recognized his disobedience. And he came asking for forgiveness. He comes to do the work. He comes in repentance. It's what John the Baptist preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that's our call too, to repent. To say, yes, I have been disobedient. Yes, maybe I've turned my back on my God. I haven't wanted to do what he told me to do. And yet, here in his mercy, I am forgiven. Really, in all of this, it's meant to point to the third son. Maybe you heard me say that and figured I was mistaken, that I just made a mistake. It's obviously only two sons here. There's not three. No pastor's not losing his mind, at least not on this. The third son is the one who's telling the parable. The third son is Jesus, that true Son of God, the one who came when the Father said, I want you to go to a cross, and there I want you to lay down your life as a sacrifice for all, so that the people will be forgiven. And he says, yes, sir, I will do it. And then he does. It was by his perfect obedience, the obedience to all of God's law, all of God's will, obedience to death itself. It was by that obedience that we have been forgiven of our disobedience. That third son is the reason why we can come to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and know that we are forgiven and have the ability, the confidence, and everything that we need to set about doing the work now. To go into the corners of the earth to proclaim his message. To be able to follow his word. And to be able to have the strength and courage to keep going even when we have been defiant. Because this is what the Son has done. He's won forgiveness. He's given life. And what does Jesus say? That those sinners, where are they going? They will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not the ones who gave God just lip service, no intention of following his will, no intention of actually putting their trust and faith in that Savior from sin as God had given, but instead they'd follow their own path. They'd do what they want to do. But for those of us who follow the Son, that perfect obedient Son, we have the promise of forgiveness and life, and it will never be taken away. With all the disappointments in life, disappointments we find in others, disappointments of our dreams, can anything ever go right? Is anything going to be good? There's one thing we never need to worry about. It will never disappoint us. Jesus is no disappointment. by his perfect obedience to his Father, we have been forgiven. By everything that he has accomplished through his death on a cross, we have forgiveness in life. And the promise of heaven is there. And I guarantee you that also will not disappoint. Because it is our perfect heavenly home. And it is ours. Through Jesus, that true Son of God, and all that he has done. Amen.